Today's daf in Masechet Chulin brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, stretching through the wilds of Greece and continuing on to the utter wilds of California, of all places. We are holding on right after the idea of why it is that the dog will be boleya if the chicken is still dripping blood, and the question of why we didn't use Shmuel as a raya that a non-kosher tzir would obviously aser in a heated through melicha container, a non-kosher tzir from a treifa should become actually the source of iser even for the kosher. And the last thing we said was that we were simply trying to give the maximum kind of problem, which in a sense was saying, look, the tzir is aser, that's all you need to know. So we got up to Meisvei. So we are on the fourth line from the top of the daf. And the question that we have right now is from a braita that seems to say that it simply isn't true. What Rava said, that the tzir that comes out from melicha, Rava said that that tzir is actually able to go into other meat and that it's not prevented from being absorbed by the fact that the other meat is going and exuding at the time. So we have a braita that says the opposite of Rava. Meitvei, dag tahor shemalachoyim, dag tamei mutar. So here we have two fish that were salted together. One is a kosher species and one is not. And it, I mean, when it says salted together, I mean, it sure sounds as if both of them were salted, right? So my love, shayu shneihem meluchim, they were both salted. And nonetheless, I mean, it's the same case, albeit it's fish instead of meat. But the idea is essentially the same idea. If you're telling me that sear is going to aser, so if it's going to aser the meat, it's going to aser the fish from one fish to the other, from the non-kosher fish, the same case as the treifa meat. And therefore, it seems that Rava is wrong. Says the Gemara, absolutely, you'd be right if the both of them were salted. But when it says that they were both in a malachoim dag tamei, what that means is you salted a dag tahar when you had a dag tamei that was also in the pot, in the melichas kli. It doesn't mean that they were both salted, and that means that what's going on over here is that not both were, but the tahar was maliach, and the only thing that was exuding at the time was the tahar. But since the tameh wasn't maliach, the tzir was not being niflat from it. And therefore, it couldn't aser the dag tahar. But how could you say that? It could keep reading in the braita. You'll see that doesn't make any sense. The next case in the braita says, Namiriktani seifa. Tahar, if the case of hayat tahar maliach, and the tameh was tafel, then it would be mutter. You said that was the case in the Reisha. Now you're introducing a new case that's repeating the same case that you said we have no choice but to read that in the Reisha. How do you explain that? That in the event that Ayatar Maliach Vatame Tafel, then it would be mutter, which is what we just said, no? Michlal de Reisha B'Shishneim Meluchim Askina. Doesn't that mean that the opening case was a case in which both were Meluchim? Like it seemed, you salted them together, right? No, not right. Because the truth is, it doesn't even really make sense to read it like that. Actually, the second part of the braita is explaining the first part of the braita. It's saying, ketzat. So it's perushika mefarish. We start off by saying, atar shemalacho im dag tamei mutar. But what do we mean? That they were both salted together in the same plate? No, because of Rava. So therefore, the braita comes to explain ketzat. What's the case? Look, I mean, it doesn't make sense to read it the other way, does it? Why would you tell me, after telling me a case where both of them were salted, and over there, I mean, that's a tremendous chiddush, because I mean, that's not being cooked together like we tied in before, that we could simply explain the halakha by quoting Shmuel's din melicha reo kiroteach. I mean, that case, if even that case you're telling me is kosher, so obviously the second case is kosher. Why are we bothering to discuss it? unless the second case is the purish. It's not a second case. It's, what do we mean when we say that they were salted together? We mean kagun shahaya and alkinami mistafer. So let's say that inside. We're going to tell me that we should understand that the Reisha is talking about a case where both of them were salted, then the entire thing breaks down. Because if you're telling me in the Reisha, hashta shnei meluchim shori, that even if both of them were salted, that it's mutter, do I need to tell you that if there was no salt on the tummy, that it's kosher? I mean, so then the tummy wasn't being polite. So where would the tzir that was usher come from? So it makes no sense, of course. If hashta shnei melukim ashari, do I need to say Torah maliach v'tamei tafel mi boy? I don't need that part of the braita. You know the answer to that, which is always the same. Well, imishum ha lo ayri, that doesn't prove anything, because you could say that a tona sefer gli reisha. It says the second case because somebody might try to say, like Rav is trying to say, that the reisha was talking about shneihem aluchim, and the case over there was that, sorry, you might try to say that it's not shneihem aluchim and that it's dafka, one of them, only the Tohar was Maliach, and therefore I tell you the second case, don't think that. I'll address that case separately. So now you understand that the Reisha actually was Shnei Malukim. Maybe that's how to read it. And therefore, the Braita continues to remain the way Braita try to be, opaque. We need to be able to include both possibilities in this Braita in order to preserve it in the Derech of Torah Shebaal Peh. And therefore, it could be that Tana Sefer Legaluye Reisha Delo Tema, don't try to tell me that the Reisha was talking about a case where the Torah is Maliach and the Tomei is Tafo, but Einachinami, if you would have Shnei Meluchim, it would be Usser. Therefore, I want to make it clear to you. Look, here's another case. This other case is in the Sefer, Torah Maliach but Tomei Tafo. So what do you think the Reisha is? Obviously, the Reisha is talking about a different case, which would mean that Shneihem Meluchim, and nonetheless, it's Mutter. And that's the point. And maybe it's coming Bidavka to disprove Rava. So I have no way of knowing. And therefore, we could learn Rava into this Braita. Can't prove Rava, but we can't disprove Rava. Okay, I haven't told you the whole Braita. Now, how about if we read the very last part of the Braita, okay? Tana Tashma. Miseifa de Seifa, there's yet a third part of the Braita, which reads like this. Aval ima yata me maliach v'tohar tafel asur. So if dafka the tohar fish was without any salt, remember tafel, we talked about how tafel and tiflut are related and are such a profound indication of the nature of language between the English and the general Goyish languages in Lashon HaKodesh. So if the Tahar was Tafel, in that case, if the Tame was Maliach, so then it's Aser. Or now, what does that imply to you? Well, to me, it's saying that the only case where we say it's Aser is if the Tame one was Maliach and the Tahar was Tafel. But what if both of them were Meluchim? So if both of them were Meluchim, that would mean that the Tahar fish was in the process of being polite, and that would have protected it from any absorption of the tzir that was coming from the tummy fish, right? Apparently, the kosher fish would not have been bolea at the time that it was polate, and that is against Rava. Rava claims that it would have been. Yeah, but you know what? It could be that that diak is not accurate. It could be that the reason that it said the case as if only if one of them, Tomei was Maliach and the Tara Tafel, but if both of them, maybe it only says that to keep things actually balanced in the Braita. Look, the Reisha spoke about Tahar Maliach for Tomei Tafel, right? So because of that, it said in the Sefer Tomei Maliach for Tara Tafel, but it could well be that it would be Usser even if both of them were Maliach. So therefore, again, can't bring a raya to Rava, and you can't ask a question on Rava. Now let's talk about Piskei Halachas that come from Shmuel. And Shmuel said these three halachas. First of all, he said, Ein habasar yotzei midei dano, Ela imken molcho yafe yafe, umediho yafe yafe. So you have to do a very good job on salting it, and then you have to rinse off that salt very well, because if you don't rinse it off, then the blood that was absorbed by that salt is going to remain on the surface of the meat together with the salt. And then if you roast it, it will actually absorb back that blood again. We have to get rid of that blood in the same way that we need to have the container needs to be filled with holes in order for the blood to be able to drain off, as we learned before. So too do we have to actually take all the blood off together with the salt. But the question is, what precisely do we mean by yafe yafe? So there is actually very important machlokas rishonim. And the question is, does that mean every last bit of meat has to be covered with salt? But that would mean that you would have to salt both sides of the piece of meat. But if you don't salt both sides, or if you leave a little piece that doesn't have salt on it, so then that area is not going to be removed, from the dam won't be removed. Or it could mean yafe yafe is just in terms of how salty it is. There needs to be enough salt to make it eino nechal machmas milcha. So that's a big machlokas between the Teres Habayis and the Rosh about which one it is. And Lamaisa, the question would be, do I absolutely have to make sure that both sides would be covered? And that would mean that we have to leave it that way in order for all of the blood to drain off. So we learned yesterday that 18 minutes is the time that it takes for the blood to drain off. It needs to remain in there for 18 minutes. Now the question is, after that, when will it start being absorbing, being bolea? So that we had a machlokas, whether it was ona, means to say 12 hours, or 24 hours, in which it continues to be pelate various juices. But after that time, there would be a problem if you wanted to put one piece in 18 minutes after the other piece. And you'd think, well, that's a problem, because then the other piece is already going to start bolea. No. As long as it's 12 hours, it will not start to be bolea because it's still being pelate sir. Those who learn 24 hours, thus sometimes we can actually be makel even to that extent. Halacha l'maisa, in the event that you don't do the melicha for both sides, we rely on the pshat that when it says that it has to be miyofi yofi, what it means is that it's eino nechal machmas the melicha. So that's the sheet of the Teres Habayis of the Rashbi. Itmar. So before we go on to Shmuel's next maimer, Rav Huna said, you have to salt it and then be mediach it. Whereas the Braita says, no, you have to first be mediach it, then you can salt it, and then you have to be mediach it again, because the original hadacha is what either softens it up properly so that the salt is going to be able to work, because otherwise if it's dry, the salt isn't going to do anything. It's going to remain there. So that's one approach. And the other approach is that the initial blood that's there from before you did the melicha, there's an awful lot of blood there, which is the first thing that the salt is going to soak up, and then it's going to lose its ability to draw out the rest of the blood that's in the meat. Anyway, halacha l'maisa, we need to have a hadacha prior to melicha. And the truth is that even though it seems like Rav Huna is saying you don't need the melicha before, the hadacha before, you only need to be moleach and to be mediach, and the Braita says you need first to be mediach, it's not really a machlokas. Velo pligi. The place where we were talking about Rav Huna, in which he doesn't mention the hadacha, that's because the butcher shop automatically in that area would wash off the original blood that's on the meat to allow the the consumer to do the malicha immediately. So he didn't bother mentioning it because that's the way it was done. Whereas the Braita was telling me, this is the way you need to do it. Whatever the commercial issues are, something else. But Hotechalalei Baitavka, Ravuna was talking about that it's done in the butcher shop, and Hadalochalalei Baitavka. And that's why if you buy meat, and you're buying meat for a barbecue, which doesn't require malicha, and you don't want the meat to be maluach because it makes it very salty, and you like your blood, your meat bloody on the barbecue, so you buy meat which will have a sticker on it that will say hudach velo nimlach. So this meat was already washed off, but just as a warning to the consumer, this is not salted meat, but it was already mudach. I see. I'm losing my customers over here into the wilds of, I don't know, maybe some people are making a barbecue because they got turned on. I don't know. Maybe Rich, yeah, there we go. Akiva's got his braai already for breakfast. And look at this. And Brucey, of course, is trying to get to the shuk before Richie buys out everything. Well, what about all of our other people? What happened?
Rabbi, I remember when my grandmother used to go to the butcher, and the way you just described it is how they marked the meat when she bought it there.
Right. And then exactly. Yeah. Yedach v'lonim lach. Yes, indeed. I was once absolutely... I don't know whether why not? I should just tell stories. I mean, nobody's here to learn. What the heck? We might as well just sit back. You got a beer, Rich? Or is it still Talisker? Or do we have something new? Anyway, as I was saying back then, in the old days.
We learn from stories.
Well, I'll tell you a story. When I first made Aliyah, I came on a boat.
Oh, yes.
You know that story. So I came on a boat in which, in order to pay my way over, they didn't pay your way in those days. Anyway, so to pay my way over, I was the mashgiach on the boat. And, you know, I was assured everything is top, top quality. Hashgach, there won't be any problem. All of the meats have been checked before and so on. Okay, great. So anyway, so I'm taking out the meat for a big meal. And there was this kailo on board also. They were like real machmirim people, so I couldn't in any way like take any kind of shortcuts. Anyway, so I go into the freezer and my mouth drops open. All of the meat is marked hudach v'lo nimlach. So, okay, that you say is not a problem, but it is a problem. Because you can only leave meat like that for 3 days, as we're going to see. Once it's 3 days old, you can't get the dam out of it through malicha. And there is a way around that, which is if it's frozen solid, and of course it's supposed to be frozen solid in the freezer, so then it's as if it was just 1 day old. But it wasn't frozen solid. The freezer was no good. It was frozen, but you could still squish it. And therefore, I could not do malicha on the meat. So we didn't have any meat for anything but tzli on that entire journey. And that was the first part of the adventure. I won't tell you the rest because then there won't be anything to look forward to the next time nobody's here to learn. So our next exciting adventure on the boat will be... I'll go weiter and hope that someone is standing behind those names.
Quick question, Rebbe. If you put meat that wasn't salted on the grill, right, and you cook it that way, does that mean you cannot put regular meat afterwards on the grill that has been salted?
No, because a grill burns off anything that's on it immediately.
Okay,
so continues this before we get to the next mimer of Shmuel. As far as the salt, Rav Dimi Minarda used to use kosher salt. And kosher salt is called milcha galalnita. So that's like very thick pieces of salt, which is, of course, what they sell. This is why they sell kosher salt. Doesn't mean the salt is kosher. It means this is salt for koshering. So the koshering salt, this comes from this Gemara. And that way you could menapitzle, after the salt had already absorbed everything, you could shake it off. Doesn't mean you don't need hadacha, but you could shake it off. Masha inkin, if you use, the truth is it's a machlokas, but we're machmer. If you use non-kosher salt, you just use regular thin salt, so then this salt is going to need a lot of work to get it all off. Like this, you could just shake it off and wash it. But thin salt, it just gets connected to the meat, so that you're going to have to actually rub it down in order to get it off. Okay, so that's why we use the thick salt. There is an additional pshat that's the exact opposite, which we're not making. Amar Rav Misharshia, another thing to know is that there are parts of the body that actually do not become usur if you did not do any kind of melicha at all. This is how Rashi learns it, that it's only a din in bidi avad. However, there are many shitas that you don't need to even do the melicha lichat chila, and that's referring to what we use for kishka, and that is usually does not have blood in it. And Tirgama, what does it mean when it says b'nei me'ayim? It doesn't mean all the b'nei me'ayim, obviously. It means the karkasha, the me'aya, and the hadra, the contest. We're talking about the colon, you're talking about the intestines, the rectum. Those things that are kishka are not really needed, according to some shitas, to do melicha, and according to others, are b'di'avad, mutter without melicha. That was the end of the first maimer of Shmuel, who introduced us to the idea of how to do the melicha and the hadocha. The next maimer of Shmuel is Omer Shmuel, which we've actually taken for granted until now. Ein menichim basar maliach, ela al gabe kli minukav. If you're salting, then it has to be with perforations, because otherwise the dam is going to be maybe reabsorbed. And this is a question. What does it mean, reabsorbed? Does it mean reabsorbed in the event that if you left it there too long after it stopped being polite, which would be like, what, 12 hours later or 24 hours later? And therefore, it wouldn't be a problem if we're sitting in a lomenu cup for the first 18 minutes? That would not be a problem. Well, there are actually some who learn that way. Unfortunately, there are many Rishonim who say that if it's mamish lying in blood, so then it will absorb, even if it's in the process of being polite. That's one approach. The other approach is that ein achinami, if it's being polite, it will not be boleya. However, since we learned like Shmuel, that maluach is a reokiroteach. So if it's actually going to sit in the blood, it would have a din of roteach, because it's supposed to be in meat to such an extent that it's in an achal machbas milcho. And therefore, there's always going to be some type of reabsorption. And yet there's a third shita. According to the third shita, the problem is that if you don't have a clean outside of the meat, and there's liquid that's building up on the outside and isn't dripping out through the perforations, then what happens is that additional blood is not going to have where to go and to come out to the outside of the meat. And because of that, it won't actually come out. And even worse, since the meat was highly salted, so it's no longer dame vorim, because it was standing there by the edge trying to come out, except that it was surrounded by liquid, and therefore was already usur as dame vorim, that was perash from the aver, and yet was remained inside. So it would be even worse. So the worst thing you could do would be to start the melicha process and then not allow the loosened dam to actually come out. So we have three different svaras as to why it would be usur. And then the question is, how much would become usur would depend on what the din the basis of this then is. It could be that the entire piece would be awesome. And Reb Sheshes, he used to take every separate piece of meat that he had and only do one piece at a time and put it into his Kli Minukav, which the Gemara says makes no sense. Because Trey, my time alone, what's wrong with putting in two pieces, tell me? Is it because you're worried that it's going to be perish from one and be nivla in the other, and he doesn't want to be senech on Kolzman that it's being paleit, it won't be balea? So then if that's the case, you couldn't even soak one piece of meat with itself. Because chad nami perish mi hagisa bala hagisa. The blood that's coming out of one side will be absorbed by the other side. You'd have the same exact question. So it makes no sense whatsoever to say that you're not going to put two separate pieces in. Ela lo shna. So obviously, there's no such din. Halacha is that kivan shepoleit eino boleya, and that plita goes on for a very long time after the blood comes out, after the first 18 minutes. And because of that, there's no chashash, except if you leave things in for a whole day. That's something else. But generally speaking, there's not going to be a problem. Unless, of course, one piece isn't kosher. And then we get into the problem of the malicha being asering it and so on. Okay, that was the second Maimer of Shmuel. The third Maimer of Shmuel is in the name of Rabbi Chia. So Shmuel reported for Rabbi Chia that if shover mafrakta shabeima konim shetetse nafsha, if you break the neck of the animal before it actually dies, then that is terrible. First of all, it's geneva, because areze machbidet habasar. Remember that immediately after the shkita, the animal is goneach, and the genicha of the animal forces blood out, such that after the shechita, there's so much blood, if you let the animal normally suspended by the back nowadays, by the back leg, so all of the dam is going to go out, and therefore it's much easier to get out all of the dam subsequently, and there's very little blood at the beginning that is going to be machbid on the evarim of that animal. So the first thing that you're doing is you're stealing. Because your machbirat basar, you've turned it to be much heavier. People are going to be paying for the same kilo of meat, which now has a higher proportion of blood in it, and that's not what they're paying for. They're paying for meat. So that's your first problem. And the second problem is that besides gozos habriot, you are mavliya dam be'evarim. It sounds like two separate problems. Maybe it's just a way of expressing why it's gezela. You're causing the blood to remain inside of the evarim instead of being easy to get out. So, Iboilo, what did Shmuel mean? Was that one statement or two? Were there two problems? So, hechiko amar, did he mean machbidet habasar v'gozelet habriyot, that you're stealing? Why are you stealing? One statement, mishum de mavliya dam be'evarim. But, I mean, for you yourself, if you're shechting your own animal, then you obviously, maybe you want the blood to remain in the evarim, and maybe you want to make a better barbecue. I don't know, but then there won't be a problem if it's not gezela, in which case, halididei shapir dami. For your own personal use of that meat, that would be fine. Or Ishmael is saying there's two separate issues here. First of all, you're stealing from the customers. And even if there's no customers, you're going to be eating treifa meat because you can't get the blood out of it. And therefore, l'didei nami also, you wouldn't be able to use it yourself either. Take it. Actually, we would be machmer, according to the girsa that we have over here. And it would mean that we have a suffix as to whether we can be motzi the dam or not. And this brings us to, actually, it wouldn't mean there's no way to eat it. I mean, you still roast it, but okay, all right, I don't go into the details. Brings us to Sir Richard. It's only because he's been up all night learning Mishmar which is Thursday night, that Friday he's a little weaker, that we can learn from him how it is to use our time properly. Anyway, now we seem to be going back to the chicken issues. And the truth is, we never got to the bottom when we did the beginning of the parak. We were merames that we're going to see later on, that according to Rabbi Akiva, the Isser of Of, Im Chalav is only a drabonon. We never really went into it. And we finally have gotten to the underlying question of what type of meat is included in the Isser of Lotavashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo. So first, the Mishnah introduces things by saying something rather strange. That is a little bit funny. You put some chicken on the same table as cheese. Does anybody have a hava mina that you'd be over on a lo taseh? You didn't even put them together. I mean, forget about cooking them. What is that supposed to mean? And what if I eat it, says the Gemara? And if I'm going to eat the chicken with the cheese, so then it will be a lo taseh. There's no isser in eating meat and milk together. There's certainly no isser in eating chicken and milk together. So what are you telling me? That if you ate it, you would be over on a lo taseh. That would have to mean that if you ate it after cooking it. But then you'd be telling me that Shema Amina, Bisar of Pichalav, is a Dioraita. So then you'd be telling me straight out, don't learn like Rabbi Akiva, because actually, the only thing that you won't be over on a lotasa is if you just put it on the table. But the moment that the casseroles get mixed and there's any kind of cooking, then you're going to be over Dioraita. Is that what it's saying? No. Obviously, I mean, the way to say things would not put it in that way. On the contrary, what it might be saying is introducing the sugya like this. If you're mala ofi magvina ala shulchan, there's no way that you could ever be bali de lo taseh. So that you would think that, okay, so then it's mutter, right? No. What I'm telling you is that even though there's no possible way for you to be over on a deraisa, by putting your meat, your chicken and your cheese on the table, it still doesn't mean that our original Mishnah that we spoke about not to be mala on the shulchan, it doesn't mean that that doesn't apply to chicken. It does apply to chicken, even though you cannot shum panim va'ofen, even if you cook it on that table, you won't be able to be over on an issur. And therefore, it's an introduction to the Mishnah that Sir Richard is going to attempt to give us an introduction for right now in front of your very eyes. That was your cue, Sir Richard. Right now in front of your... There we go.
There we are, right in front of your very eyes. Well, that was a quick mission of mine.
Well, I couldn't even finish another bowl of porridge.
Zook the Helek Mishnah.
So, we've got our pasuk. And this was the famous pasuk of Lotav Hashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo that turns up in the most curious places in the Torah. And every time we talk about a renewed situation of a level of Brit, we have to mention again, Lotav Hashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo. Very strange. But we're not here to talk about the strangeness. We're here to talk about the repetitiveness. What does it mean when it says three times, Lotav Hashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo? And what does it mean when it stresses a Gedi? What exactly is a Gedi? And when it says B'Chalev Imo, what does that mean? Does it mean its own mother? Does it mean milk of any kind? Does it mean milk from an animal that at least could be a mother? And does it mean it has to be from the same species at least as the child? All of these are very interesting questions. And why stress Dafka the Gedi? What if it's an older animal? Is the meat usser? Is it only a mammal, which has a mother? But if it's a chicken, then last time we heard, we never did find that mother's chicken because we didn't know what came first. And because of that, we would have an issue of, is it d'oraisa or not? How about a chaya? Do we ever find the Torah referring to a chaya as a gedi? All of this is what we're going to try to figure out. Besides the repetitiveness of the pasuk itself, which teaches me the iser of bishul and the iser of achila and the iser of hana'ah, which we've spoken about before, we also want to find out what the repetitiveness of the gedi and the aim come to tell me. So, first thing says the Mishnah, Bisar behema tohora, bechalev behema tohora, asur levashel, and if you did, it's even asur bahana'ah, not to mention bachila. So as long as we're talking about a kosher animal, right now we're not talking about dafka, what type of animal. We don't mean necessarily behema, but we're saying it, we're stressing the tohora. There's no iser of basar b'chalav that is going to apply to a mixture of a non-kosher meat or a non-kosher milk. And therefore, basar b'hema tohora. So let's say you have kosher meat, and now it's in a pot with chalav of behema tmeya. Can you turn on the fire and cook it for a goy if you're working in the restaurant? Yes, there's no iser of cooking that. Or besar behemat tmeya, let's say it's non-kosher meat, but the milk is kosher milk. Can you cook that for your non-kosher restaurant? Yes, mutar levashel, absolutely. Is it aser bahana'ah once it's cooked? Nope, it's completely kosher, except that it's not kosher. But as far as basar v'cholav is concerned, it's a fully non-basar b'cholav dish, and therefore it would be mutar b'hana'ah, and therefore if you're going to give it to a goy, there would be no problem to sell it, no problem to cook it, because there's no iser basar b'cholav involved in it at all. Of course, you're not supposed to do business with non-kosher food. That's a separate issue. But as far as the d'oraita of iser hana'ah is concerned, there would be no iser hana'ah that would be involved. So it would be mutar levashel and mutar b'hana'ah. That's the Tanna Kamma that does not differentiate between species. It stresses only the tahira. The only difference is any kosher species with any kosher species milk. Mashenkin Rabbi Akiva Omer, the din that you said is not universal in terms of the Isser D'oraita, because the Chayav Of is not Osir min HaTorah, it's only Osir min Rabbanan, as we're going to see in the Gemara later on, the clarity of the Pesukim. Let's take a look at those Pesukim, says Rabbi Akiva. It says, Lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. So then that means three times the Torah has stressed gedi. Now, what do you think that comes to tell me? It's telling me, not a chaya, not an oaf, and not a behemat tmeah. So each one of those gedis is used to tell me something which the word gedi wouldn't be used for. Obviously, nobody would call a chicken a gedi. We never find a non-domesticated animal called a gedi. The whole point of the gedi is it's the Mary had a little lamb kind of idea. It's something small, cute, that is yours. It's domesticated. And besides that, we never see the use of the word gedi on an animal that isn't kosher either. So whoever heard of calling a piglet a gedi? So therefore, it means not a chaya, not an oaf, and not a behema tmeya. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, look, the pasuk itself makes a hekesh, because the iser of basar b'cholav is actually introduced with the words, which seem to be a non sequitur, lo tochlu kol nevela, and then lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. Now, what in the world does nevela have to do with lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo? This is a hekesh. The type of meat, which is asur mishum nevela, is asur levashel b'chalav. And since there is an Isser Nevela on Basar Chaya, obviously Rabbi Yossi Aglili disagrees with what Rabbi Akiva just said. And he says, a Chaya is an Nevela if it died, and therefore, Lotava Shogadi Bachalevimo does apply to a Chaya. So Echa Asur Mishum Nevela, Asur Levashel, Bechalav. Now, you might think, says Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that that means that I argue on Rabbi Akiva when it comes to chicken too, right? Because, I mean, a chicken is asur ben avela, so of she'asur nishum nevela, yachoye asur levashel bechalav, you might think that I disagree with Rabbi Akiva, and I hold that the hekesh is marbe, the asur chicken midiraita. That's why the Torah says, besides the din of Gedi, Bechalev Imo, why does it stress its mother to tell me that birds, Yatza Of She'en Lo Chalev Im, are not included because they're not included in the concept of Chalev Imo? Not that I'm suggesting it has to be the literal Chalev Imo. Fine. So now, the question is, you're taking for granted that a Gedi includes any type of animal that was a kosher behema. I mean, I thought a Gedi was a little goat, a kid. The way that they use in English the word Gedi, it means a young goat. So how do we know, Minani Mile, how do we know that when we repeat the Gedi three times, that it's a broad inclusion of any type of behema? Well, Omar Rabbi Elazar, Omar Kro Vayishlach Yehuda et Gedi Ha'izim. Now, why do you think that it has to specify that Yehuda sent necessarily a Gedi Ha'izim? Couldn't you just say Vayishlach Yehuda et HaGedi to the supposed prostitute? It was really Tamar. It comes to teach me that if you say the word Izim, and you define the type of Gedi, then and only then is it considered to be meaningful to say it, Dafka, a goat kid. But if you don't say that, Kan Gedi Izim, but anywhere else that you'll find that terminology, Kol Makom Shenema, just the word Gedi, it means a young animal. It would apply even to a young Pora, or even to a young Rachel, to a sheep. Either way, it would include it. But I don't understand. Why don't we use this as the model for teaching me that Gedi only means a Gedi Izim? I mean, that's what we usually do when we have an example in the Torah. So it's coming to tell me, like, let's say you want to talk about Beget Semeri Pishtim. So that comes to tell me that wherever it says Beget, it refers to Semeri Pishtim. So if you're telling me a Gedi Izim, it means whenever it says a Gedi, it means a Gedi Izim, no? So, Leilafine, why don't we use that as a model? Ah, because we have another Gedi Izim, which is in reference to Yaakov Avinu and Esav, and over there it says, Ve'et Orot Gedi'ea Izim, that Rivka took the skins of Gedi'ea Izim that she had made for Yitzchak, and that means we need to define it as Gedi'ea Izim. So, only here Gedi'ea Izim. But koma kom shenema gedi, if it just says gedi without izim, again, afilu parav arachal b'mashma. But okay, so why don't we just learn from this one too? Ah, that's because havel shnei ketuvim abayim keachad, v'chol shnei ketuvim abayim keachad, ein melamdim. So it's because we have two that we cannot make it a model. But wait, as you know, not everybody agrees to that. So if you hold that wherever you have shnei ketuvim abayim keachad, you can't use them as models, you're right. But what about according to l'mandi omer who says melamdim even if you have two? Ma'ika l'meimar. We should bedafka learn from here that all gediyim are a reference to gediyim. And therefore the only animal that is osur in basur b'cholav is a young goat. Ah, that's because, actually, the Torah writes in each one of them, Ha'izim. Why Ha'izim? Gedi'izim. Gedi Ha'izim is a miut, and a miut means these, Ha'izim. These specific are goats, but normally, Gedi would not be goats. Okay, so, we have essentially three psukim of Gedim, and each one of those Gedis, Rabbi Akiva is coming to tell me, is a limud of what's not included. So because of that, we don't include chaya, we don't include a beima tmeya, and we don't include an oath. Now Shmuel darshans the Gedi very differently, and he seems to have a lot of Gedis. We only know of three Gedis, and he keeps going on the Gedi. Omar Shmuel, if it says Gedi, that word Gedi comes to tell me that even Chalev is included under the Isser of Basar B'cholav. So let's say it wasn't really meat, it was just Chalev, and the Chalev was already Usser, and you'd think that Ein Isser Chalal Isser. No, it's included in the Isser of Basar B'cholav. Then when it says Gedi again, it's coming to include an Avela, which you would say, gosh, Ein Isser Chalal Isser. No, it includes Hameta, an animal that's dead. And then when it says Gedi, it's coming to include even a fetus is included as a full Gedi. And that too is considered to be Basar. And then when it says Gedi, it means an animal as opposed to the blood. There's no Isser of eating the Messiah's dish of blood and milk, except for the fact, of course, that blood is Usser. But maybe boiled blood isn't Usser. That we're going to have to see later. And so that doesn't mean you can eat with the Messiah, but it may mean you can get away without being cooked by the Messiah, because you wouldn't have been over an Isser D'oraita. And there's another Gedi, you know. It says Gedi, and that means that the Shilia, which was just the actual placental meat, that's not considered to be meat at all, and it's not included in Basar B'cholav. And then there's that other Gedi. Wow-wee. We got a heck of a lot of Gedis here that we don't even know where they are. When it says Gedi, it means not a behema to me. Ah. And then when it says B'chalev Imo, it means, first of all, it has to be a female milk and not in the milk that comes from a male. We spoke about the way that hormonally males can produce milk very easily, and there are cases where you have a hormonal imbalance in which you get milk from a male. That's not included in mother's milk. And when it says b'chalev imo, it means it has to be a mother and not a shechted animal. And that was the mocker for Cholav Shchuta being only Osir Min Rabbanan. And then when it says it yet another time, B'chalev Imo, it means it has to be at least the same species as the Gedi itself. So that is Motzi, the Cholav of a Tmeya. We've got a little bit of a problem here, says the Gemara. Last we looked, we only found three Gedis, and Shmuel's been going to town with all these other Gedis, and you've got six Gedis that we've counted so far. How do you explain that? Anan Shita Darshinan. You've got six drushes here, all on three Gedis. Huh. Well, Shmuel is being a little disingenuous. That's the case. Because actually, Shmuel holds that Isser is Chal al Isser. Now, there's two ways of learning this, and Rashi was Makaba one way, which he goes to town on why he doesn't like, but let's just take a look at the Pashtas. Shmuel holds, that this is the way he was taught, Shmuel holds Isser is Chal al Isser, which means that the original Pasuk that tells me the very din of Basar B'cholav ipso facto includes the Isser of an Avela, includes the Isser of Chalev, because if you hold Isser is Chal al Isser, so then why wouldn't it be Chal? That would mean that the Isser Chalev and the Isser Mesa is all included in the original Isser, so we don't need an extra pasuk for that. Now, Dom, I don't need a pasuk really for Dom, do I? I mean, that you don't need an extra pasuk for. The Torah said, don't cook a Gedi. Is by any stretch of the imagination, is Dam a Gedi? No. Okay, so that's not really a drusha from an extra pasuk. And how about a placenta? Do I really think that a placenta is an animal? I mean, as we saw before, it's a din of pure shabiyama. It's just like junk. It's not part of the Gedi, and therefore I don't really need a pusik for that. So the original pusik, which tells me the Isser Basar B'Cholav, has told me on a simple read, without needing any extra Gedis, blood's not included in this, shilya's not included in this, chelev and mesa is included in this because of the general din that Isser Chalal Isser. So now we're left with two extra Gedis. What are they for? One is come to be Marba the Shlil, and one has come to tell me that it has to be a kosher animal for which a Gedi can be a reference, and not a Behema Tamiya. Now, we're going to see later on the problems with this approach, and that is when we stack up Shmuel with Rabbi Akiva and the usages of the word Gedi, it's going to turn out that Shmuel is actually using one of the psukim to tell me that Isser Chalal Isser, and therefore Rashi doesn't like this pshat that seems to imply that Shmuel would hold all over Isser Chalal Isser. We'll deal with how Rashi understands the sugya when we get there. First, let's just take it easy and understand where it is that Shmuel got off claiming that he has six things to learn from these Gedis. Okay, so now what we're saying over here is that basically we know that Shmuel would hold all over Isser Chal al Isser. But is that true? Does indeed Shmuel hold Isser Chal al Isser? Didn't Omar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Eliezer? Didn't Shmuel say that he heard it in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, that minayin lekohen tamei, she'achal truma tamei'a, she'ena b'mita? How do we know that the iser of achilas truma, b'tumat haguf, by a kohen, that there, if he would eat the truma that itself was tamei, that there would not be a din of achiyav misa b'dei shamayim, and it would only be an iser asei, as we're going to see where that would come from, but there's no chiyav of misa. That's because shenemar umetu bo ki yichaleluhu. So therefore, the Torah is coming to tell me that only if you have the kosher truma is there going to be a chiyav of misa, because it's not mechulal. But in the case of truma that is already tamiya, that's not included because he's not going to be mechalel the truma. The truma was sitting there and was mechulelet ve'omedet. So why in the world would the kohen be chayev if it was already mechulelet? That we learned from here that he would not be chayev. Now, what would be the iser that we're referring to over here in a case where he would be over on an iser asay only? And that would be, where's that Yisra say? So this is a little bit complex. Remember that the Torah tells us several times the din of Hatameva Tahor Yachtov Yochleno Kitzvivacha Ayo. When the Torah was referring to Psulei HaMukdashim, it goes out of its way to say, Bisha'arecha Tochleno Hatameva Hatahor, once you're poda Psulei HaMukdashim, there is no Yisra of eating it betuma at all. And even as the Gemara puts it, tomei v'tohar ochlin b'kara achat, that's a reference to specifically psulei hamugdashim after pidyon, there's no iser tuma. Why does the Torah say, tochlen no? You can eat it, but you can't eat anything else. What is the anything else that you cannot eat, even hatomei v'tohar yachadab? That is a reference to truma. That truma, the Torah was never matir hatameh v'atar yachdav, even in the event that the truma was tameh. So that's an iser asay, because it comes from tochelenu. So it's an iser that is learned from an asay, and so alava b'bichlal asay is an asay. So the Torah only asered achila truma tameya with an iser asay. And you should not learn, however, what about, does that mean that the Kohen is going to be chayev? He will certainly not be chayev because it took off the lo taseh by saying specifically the lo yichaleluhu. And that means that as long as it was mechulal v'omed, he's not going to be over. So that is actually a question of, would we say, Isser Chal al Isser? Because, I mean, if something was already tame and the Kohen is not allowed to eat it, and if he would have eaten the Truma Tamea, if it hadn't been for this Pasuk, we would have said that the Kohen would have been Chayev. And the Pashtos is that it should be the question of there was already an Isser on it, and therefore, Ein Isser Chal al Isser. So he's only going to be over on the Isser of Truma Tamea. And that would mean that we're coming out of this saying that Be'etzem, it's teaching us that he's not going to be over on something that was already usher before. And if that's the case, then Shmuel himself, who quoted Reb Eliezer, seems to be saying that Ein Isser Chal al Isser. No, this is a special case, isn't it? Maybe normally Shmuel holds Isser Chal al Isser. I mean, after all, we have a special drasha of the Umetu Bo Ki Chalaluhu, and therefore there was no Ki Chalaluhu. Why do you think that that's just like a cute remez? That's the mucker. And Enoch Inami, on the contrary, Shmuel would have said, if it wouldn't be for that special pasuk, then I would have said that a Kohen is actually Chayev because Isser is Chal al Isser. So it works out beautifully that this would be Shmuel Shita all over, and only because we have a special pasuk. Or maybe just the opposite. Now, here's where we run into trouble. Maybe just the opposite, because actually, normally Shmuel would hold, B'alma Kasava Shmuel, Ein Isser Chal al Isser. And the only reason that by Basar B'chalav of Chelev, or Basar B'chalav on Nevela, that he says Isser is Chal al Isser, is because the Torah had that extra Gedi that he darshan. We said he didn't darshan a Gedi. We said that it was because he held, and this is, of course, Rashi's problem with the pshat that he has. It's the first part of his problem. Over here, the Gemara is saying that no, he actually learned it out from the word Gedi. And before we said he didn't need the Gedi to learn it out, and it was innate in the original Pasuk that Asered Basar B'chalav. So what the heck is going on now? That's Rashi's problem. We'll get back to it in a moment. V'ibayt, I don't know in a moment because we are running out of time. But Ibayt Ema, or I could tell you that there's no problem here. He said Beferish. B'shem, he heard this over Mishum Reb Eliezer. And therefore, Hadidei, V'had Rabbe. It doesn't mean literally Rabbe, of course, because, I mean, there was no way he could have learned by Reb Eliezer. But it means that this is coming from the one that he is being Mekabel the Halacha from. But he himself, Ein Achinami, he himself would have held that the Isser is Chal al Isser. Let me just get to the bottom here and see how much time we have. Boy minei revach, tavoy barami mirab. How about if you cook in a milk of a female? You said, if you cook in male milk, that's not considered to be milk. But that's because that male can't be a mother. And so it would not be included in lotavar shogedi b'chalev imo. But how about if you cook in female milk, but it was milk that had never been used for nursing? It was milk that was appearing in the udder of an animal that was going to give birth. And before it actually gave birth, that milk was used to cook meat. So is that called an aim because of its potential to be an aim? So it's an incipient aim that's enough? Or does it have to actually be milk that comes from a mother that delivered and nursed? Omar Leh, so Rav said to him, look, Shmuel, remember, taught us that Chalev Imo excludes Chalav from a Zachar. So if I need that pasuk to tell me that male milk is not included, that's dafka male milk. Zachar hu, the loasi lichlal aim. The zachar is not included in Chalev Imo. But this is obviously one step beyond the problem of Chalev Zachar. Elahai, kivan de bilba lichlal aim, it would be asur. Okay, I'll go over this again, Bezrat Hashem. I see it's late. I'll go over it again on Sunday together with, again, Bezrat Hashem, to be able to go over the Nat Bar Nat issues. Those of you who remember the Daf Yomi, I think it was from three cycles ago, where we had that doctor who was the painter, if you recall, the one who did the beautiful paintings on Tehillim. So he was actually on a boat, which he told us, which was right after the Second World War and the surrender of the Germans. And he had been on this boat together with a lot of survivors from the camps. And they had a number of babies on board, of women that had given birth. And they were so completely wiped out nutritionally that none of them were able to nurse the babies. They didn't have any milk. And he says that the men on board were all able to nurse the babies. And this was like shock to him until he discovered that after a person is in a state of malnutrition for a long time, the first hormones that come back are estrogen before testosterone is reestablished. And all of these men, therefore, were very highly feminine in a sense. All of them were able to actually produce milk, and they all nursed those babies, whereas the women, Dafka, were unable to do it because of the balance, I forgot about that part, the balance of the testosterone with estrogen, and they were unable to nurse. It was a wild situation, a very strange and unique situation that he actually witnessed on his own on this boat. Absolutely wild. But anyway, if we're learning the Gemara about Chalav Zachar, it's not necessarily a couple of drops of milk that would be Chalav Zachar. It could be Chalav Zachar would be sufficient to actually cook a piece of meat in. Okay, Rabosai, quite amazing. Sorry for not being able to finish up as much as I would have liked, but hopefully we will use, if the good Lord spares us, the time that was given us on Sunday to be able to make up the difference.